And I was like this, hey, Shalom, brother. I'm on the same show, Shalom. Nice to meet you.
I got to digest that and get it yet. But.
He was like right there with me, but they were like coming to me to say they liked the show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you were saying I'm on it too?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm also on the same show.
Oh, you're that kind of... If I want to think about
like,
me.
Who? Like, who are you?
Oh, you're the producer?
Hey, Dr. Sanchez made it on praise.
Oh, snap. He said Dr. Sanchez.
Oh, you Pedro? You Pedro Albizu?
We love that series.
Too much going on, man. It's too big.
It is. If this Passover show me anything, man, it's just how much bigger we are.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a lot of stuff, man.
You were announced at Passover.
What?
Because they did the walkout one by one, so they.
Oh, they announced Phoenix, Arizona, Captain of 100, Captain of Heart.
Yeah, and Jamai did a good job. He sounded like he was announcing a fight.
Yeah. I felt like it was like Friday Night Lights again, bro. Like I think I was on the football field. So.
And then they saw Soraya come out. He got big cap.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour Plus Edition. I'm Captain Yahshua.
Shalom, good evening, Captain Apari.
Shalom, Most High in Christ Bless, Captain Amariah.
Shalom, Most High in Christ Bless, Officer Eliezer.
Officer Eliezer in the house.
Yes, sir.
From the mighty tribe of Reuben.
He's black, y'all. He's black, y'all. He's blacker than black and then black, y'all.
Well, he's repping Gad right now because that's what he knows. That's what he knows. But he looks like a Reubenite.
As long as I get engaged, that's all that matters.
Yeah, you got a little palu look to you.
Just a little bit.
Too much clay.
You're a little chew. That's palu.
Nah, all Reubenites have like a similar type of hue and look, right?
Yeah.
You know, well, that I've met anyway. Hey, even when you look at pictures of the Seminoles, it's very...
You know, it's interesting you do say that because Gadites, they'll have a mixture of kind of like northern... they are northern kingdom, but more of like a Hispanic type, dark... Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
With a coarse hair.
Right.
Not kinky, but like more coarse.
Right, right. It's not exactly a fro.
Yeah.
Right? Like the wool's a little different. See?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You got a little bit of the...
Yeah. It's not,
I don't know, man. He might be Judah, bro. He's standing real bad up there, bro. Oh, no.
I've been like that since I was 13.
Oh, yeah? Okay, I'll break. He's at 13.
Woo! He was born with that head. That was a baby head.
He's not at birth.
My baby hair.
That's
what it is.
Oh, man. So we back on the air. We aired a replay last week, just a lot going on with Passover preparation, so on and so forth. So we're back on the air to get it in. Hey, we got a lot, we're just talking off the air. We got a lot of good feedback, positive feedback from the show. You know, it's always hard to gauge those things. You know, you see views, but you know how they aggregate views and things like that. So you don't really realize the level of support you're getting. And, you know, but we definitely see that brothers and sisters are out there watching. And from all tribes, all Israel was very excited about the show. So it was a pleasure to meet many of you in person. Definitely appreciated the kind words, though we don't do it for that. It's nice to hear that the word is going out and the message that we're putting out is being received. So I'm going to go ahead and since I started myself a little late, I just want to share this on a couple more things.
When I got brothers from the Southern Kingdom, right, and like from the South, coming to me saying, hey, man, hey, man, hey. Yo, that Northern Kingdom history is heavy, man. That's when we know, okay, all praise the Most High, man. That, kind of like you said, like, just no one likes to, no one does this for, because the scripture says that if you do it for the sake of the glory of man, then you have your reward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So everything we do for the Most High in Christ. And every time we throw prayers, it's always for the fervent spirit that the forefathers had to push the gospel for the Most High in Christ. And, but to see how many people would come up and say, hey, like, I'm, like, walking back to the hotel, and people, oh, hey, Captain Marty from Power Hour. Hey, Slim, bro. Hey, thanks for the history. Great show. So it was cool to, like how Captain said, it's hard to gauge it. So to see that many people come up and, you know, I mean, if that many people came up to me, I can only imagine how many people come up to you. You know, it was
a lot.
Thousands.
I had people coming up to me over here about it.
Hey,
it's the worst.
Well,
from North Carolina.
Well, those who know us, we're known as the brothers. So right after they saw me, where's Aparia? So they were looking for you also. They were looking for they want to meet their radio show host. Yeah, and every time I thought, hey, listen, all praise to the Most High. Make sure you're sharing. Make sure you're spreading the message out there. That's really the intent, right? We want to get out there and do that. But Passover was wonderful. Probably definitely the largest one yet. I mean, they got that one picture where we're all facing the stage and crazy. Hey, when I was up on the stage, the venue was so big and it was so packed.
How big and packed was it?
It was so
that when I looked outside of the first few tables, nothing was discernible except blue and gold glittering all over the place, man.
Wow.
And it hurt my eyes. It was so shiny. I was just like, I said, man, oh, man. I said, this is something else. I said, this is something else, man. Mm-hmm. I said, goodness gracious. I said, hey, can it get any bigger?
He said, we ain't in 1088 no more.
I had to double check. I was on the right YouTube channel. I didn't see you for a minute.
I'm here.
He said, bruh.
Oh,
that's a beautiful thing. Like, I wish I would have went to Orlando just to see how much we have grown. Only been in the air for about 3.5 years. But just hard to see how much you've grown in Arizona.
Have you gone to anything yet? Like, for a feast day that we keep collectively?
Not.
Yeah, bro.
This brother.
Listen, man. I don't know. I thought this year would be the year because of so many stimmies.
Actually, you know what? I just got stimulated today.
Hey.
Wow.
Okay. Hey, but just so you know, new Captain Gadelia from Mississippi, he just hit me up earlier because I gave him the new captain the instructions for the 15 minutes of the captain videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing his first topic on a man that traveled, so you might want to.
Oh, yeah. You should watch that.
Be on the lookout.
You should check that out.
Yeah. He's definitely in the spirit with his teachings, bro.
Yeah. Listen, I get it, right? Not everybody is able to all the time. But you got to go every now and then, bro. I'm telling you, like, if you haven't been, you got to go every now and then. Because there's something, it's the same thing I said in Tabernacles, although Tabernacles is still my favorite because of the element of living with each other all that time. But Passover gets you this, just, it's that little piece of, I mean, I know we know it's bigger than us, but seeing all those spirits and seeing all that stuff, and, I mean, It's like a refreshing of your spirit. You know how when it talks about the unity of brethren,
right.
It's supposed to be like an ointment and everything. We get that every Sabbath when we're here, right? I get happy and get joyous to be here every Sabbath with all the brothers and sisters. But then when you go to that level and you're there, it's just that much more,
right,
you know?
Right.
It's always a whirlwind for me, though, man. I was beat, man. It was rough. A few hours. And every year, I think I'm going to get some sleep. I'm like, it's going to be good this year. I don't got to worry about nothing.
You know, like?
Yeah.
But
wouldn't change it. It was awesome. So we're back. And last time when we were doing the show, we had gone into some more of the history with Puerto Rico and the statehood, how they put them to sleep. I don't have the book with me today because we started talking about the illusion of inclusion, and we're going to talk about that in a broader scale, right? Not just on the scale of Puerto Rico. We'll circle back to that, Lord's will, and bring the book out. But, you know, the point I was bringing out in the book, and the book that I'm speaking about, if you don't know, is the War Against All Puerto Ricans book, which we've been using a lot on the show. And we were speaking about how, like, right around the mid-50s, just when things were looking good for the movement, they went ahead and they elected their first governor and gave them this voice. And people then shifted their mindset, many, not all, many. There was still a remnant that were fighting for independence. People then shifted their mindset from fighting for independence, from revolution, to, oh, we got a seat at the table now. And we're going to dissect that. We're going to break that down. We're going to deal with that from a perspective of a sociological perspective. We got some videos today hopefully they don't mess with us for that stuff. I know we put up the disclaimer and things like that, but and we'll see how the dialogue goes. So I don't have a lot of scriptures pre-prepared. As things come to mind, always, obviously, we'll bring it out. But, you know, just take your notes. Learn about this. Some of you who took sociology in college or even high school, some of these things will sound familiar to you. But we're gonna dive in a little bit to the mindset behind things like racism, the dominant culture, the subculture, which we touched on a little bit, reverse racism and the fallacy that is, meaning it's not a real thing, reverse racism. Mm-hmm. We even have some snippets of Esau's tongue falling upon himself and letting you know.
Which is always what enjoyable.
It is. It's always enjoyable. When you
don't like that, though.
No.
Right.
No.
You have gone on record.
No.
I hate when Esau says that they're Esau.
No. I hate when Israel gets super excited for Esau saying that they're Esau.
Right.
Israel, you mean like repented Israel?
Yes.
Okay.
Bro, you've been the truth 7 years. Like, why are you getting
okay,
excited?
So you know what? Now you clarified it. Because I've been thinking about that. I got to talk to him about it. I'm wondering what he really means by that.
No, like, I don't.
I
like,
got you
like,
now.
It's like, dude, go
so,
on.
So you don't have an issue with it being shown as a result of people who don't know.
No, right. Exactly.
Okay. Right. Because that's the reason why I show it. You know what I mean? When I've shown it, I'm thinking.
No, it's trust me. When you share anything, it's vetted. It's
yeah,
researched.
It's
a lot different.
And trust me, when I see it, I'm like, I feel the same way you do.
Well, I just feel bad that you've been holding a grudge against me this whole time, right?
No, in fact, I didn't want to hold one. Let me speak to my brother about it.
On the show, of course. Let me just bring it out now.
I forgot we were on the show.
Not on the spot or anything.
You know, that's good, though, because that goes to show the authenticity of what we bring out on the show. None of this is scripted. It's reality television.
Did I win a brother?
Yeah. No. Did I win a brother?
Right, did he win you back off of that?
So what you just witnessed was Matthew 18.
Right. Yeah.
The real way it works.
Hey, Bishop, y'all was up in the house. Hey, Bishop, you got to update your name. It says Deacon still. You got to update your name.
I updated my contact with the quickness when I saw it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I wanted to ask, you know how it shows, when you do act, it shows up.
Yep. Him and Kana, I did it right at the table. I said, let me fix this real quick, you know.
I want to seem disrespectful.
Right. So let me put it on there. All praise to the Most High. All right, so let me pull up these links here, and let's jump into this. All right, we're gonna read a little bit first, and then we'll go into we'll break up the reading with a little video. Let's pull up the illusion of inclusion from Wikipedia. All right, it was there from last week.
She's like Thelma from Good Times. I was watching a Good Times documentary.
Yeah,
with all the stars.
I'm sorry, I didn't specifically tell you the illusion of inclusion link, but I figured since it was in the title, you guys would put it up. Okay, thank you. All right.
You said cut?
Yes. The illusion of inclusion, right? So if you watched us the show before last, we were talking about this towards the end of the show, and I said we got to get back to this because there's a lot of information on here. I hope they didn't change that because, you know, Wikipedia updates.
Yep.
Right? Somebody, like, saw this and... Right.
They said, are they going to talk about this?
Yeah. Right.
You're like, you're just reading in Black Spanish or not Israelites. What the hell is this?
They just changed it up on us. The illusion of inclusion has been defined as the sometimes subtle ways that the standards can appear to adequately address race while at the same time marginalizing it. And that definition is powerful to me because that's what you see. I mean, and you know what? And it's even more telling because since we did the show, right, we have the trial going on of Derek Chauvin over George Floyd's murder last year. You have the young man that was just shot in Minnesota as well on a traffic stop for tags. Supposedly, they found out that he had a warrant out for him. And the female Edomite, white Caucasian from the Caucasus Mountains, all right, supposedly she yells taser as she shot. You know, that reminded me of Fruitvale Station. What was the name? Oscar, I forgot his name.
Oscar,
forgot the brother's name. No, no, Fernando Castillo was in Minnesota also. They just stay killing all people up in Minnesota. I forgot his name. It was Oscar something, the guy from Fruitvale Station. And it was a similar thing where the cop was saying he meant to tase him, and he wound up shooting him. Yeah. If you haven't seen that movie, of course it dramatizes it, but that thing pulled at my heartstrings.
Hey, and let me tell you how that's BS, because your taser is kept here.
Yeah,
for the most part. All right, they did it strategically for that reason.
Yeah,
Oscar, your gun is on your hip.
Yep,
and they do it that way strategically for that to avoid situations like that. So,
and she was charged, so she quit. She resigned, 26-year veteran. She was charged, but only charged with like second degree manslaughter or something like that, because they're saying her intent was to do the taser. They're saying it because it was only one shot and not multiple, because that's what you would do with a taser, one shot there.
No.
Listen, even if any of that was true, it does not change the aggressive nature in which our people are policed and therefore marginalized, just like the definition brings out. And it says it's subtle ways that the standards can appear to adequately address race. So things like that. Things like these, you're going to hear Biden talk about these initiatives to help our people and stuff. I guarantee you it's going to look nice. It's going to smell nice. It might even taste nice, but nothing's going to change in regards to that until they acknowledge. And I'm not even going to say they got to go as far. We understand biblically, right? They're not going to acknowledge who we are until Christ cracks the sky, like you read in Wisdom of Solomon 5. And they say, these are they who we had in derision, right? That's when they'll acknowledge who we are openly, because their time is up. But until they acknowledge that there is a race problem, that we are disenfranchised people that was robbed and stolen, and that the effects of everything that they've done to this day still impact us as a people, all right, you're still going to always have this marginalization, this illusion of inclusion. Nothing they put forth adequately will ever address it.
The scripture says their spirit ain't upright. It's not in their spirit at all to acknowledge any fault.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They were created that way because that's the way the Most High God created them.
Right.
And they have an end just like we have an end. The difference is that, Lord willing, our end is being put back.
Right. Our end is actually the beginning of the whole earth being at peace and at rest.
Right. Forever.
Forever. Forever, ever. Oscar Grant. Yes. I just checked the crate. Oscar Grant. Yep.
Oscar Grant the third.
Yeah. That movie tugged on my heartstrings, especially when I saw it at the time. I didn't have my son. I only had my little girl. And I know what my relationship is like with her. And, you know, so just all those little elements, man. And that was bad, man. That was an unnecessary death. And, you know, we're going to talk today, too, about the whole how we got to act different, just the mere fact that we got to know and we got to react differently. Like, we can't go Karen or Ken.
Right.
Right. Like when a cop pulls you over, we got to go out of our way to be overly pleasant. Right. When we're at a job interview, we got to go out of our way to, they call it affinity bias, to sound like them and mold ourselves to be like them so that we can be seen better.
Mm-hmm.
And then they tell you that they don't see color. Well, if you don't see color, then you don't see the issue. So the point is that I want to get at, I'm not trying to address racial equality, because there will be no racial equality until the Black Messiah returns and forcefully brings them to their place and puts them where they need to be.
And then even then there won't be racial equality, because then it's going to be us right.
No. The equality is us on top and them at the bottom, right? We'll be the head and they'll be the tail. The reverse, the turning of things upside down, is going to flip back.
Did you see the video of that lieutenant that got pulled over and then tased?
No.
Oh, yeah. No.
The army guy?
Yes.
The military guy? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he got maced.
Maced. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And tased? Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, they told me about them. I see someone recommending them. Captains are talking about Bishop Nathaniel just texted me before coming to the show, and he said I should check it out. I think it's on Amazon. I think that's the name of the show.
What is it?
Them. Goes into like the redlining and what they do to our people and stuff like that, right? And all that. So anyway, so I say all that to say that whole marginalization, all those aspects of things, That's the illusion of inclusion, right? And then they love to hang that over our head and say, well, look, you guys got affirmative action. You got these rights. You have all these different things going on.
You got Obama.
Yet we're the ones that have to acquiesce to them, right? Like we have to be the ones to put ourselves in a position where we act like them, we got to talk like them. And like I said, the mere fact that we have to change our behaviors, and I'm not talking about if you running around being so-called gangster in the street, like that's obviously inappropriate based on what the scripture talks about. But I'm just talking about in general, they're always going to have this perception. It's a lie when they say they don't see color or race.
They have no business saying what you just said they said anyway, because according to the scripture, the world was made for our sakes.
Right.
So you're giving us crumbs of what was ours in the first place.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you know, and I know where you're going with that, but the point I'm making is that they feel justified in their upright spirit that they're doing those things.
Right. Well, the ones that are not the upper elite, like they get a good
yeah.
feeling that they're, and you know what? That's condescending, because that's no different. Damn, I wish I would have saved it. There was a graphic from like the slave holding period where basically they say they're civilized. Their thing is always they're civilizing us. Like it supposedly is, they're doing us a favor. It's an altruistic thing that they do to us.
Reverse psychology.
Right. So those lower level ones, like you said, they feel good that they're doing these type of things. They feel like they're involved and they're on our side. The ones that are legit and not agent provocateurs, meaning that in their mind they think they're doing something with us, that show up to our rallies and things like that. That's all a facade.
Yeah. When they're quick to say things like you have this person or you have that person, right? Like for instance, they'll say, like, what are you guys complaining about? You guys have LeBron James, right? He's worth all this money. There's all these things, right? But guess what? There's the Buss family that still pays his paychecks. So, like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like,
we don't have LeBron James. They have LeBron James.
Exactly.
Not even then. When
yeah, you're
to
right
speak
about
up,
that.
When you try to speak up, they tell you to just shut up and dribble.
Yep.
So he doesn't even have his vote.
There you go. Right. Exactly.
Right. Hey, you know what? I got to read it. I mean, I bring it out on the show often. I want to read Wisdom of Solomon 5.
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of my favorite scriptures because although I love the words, what it does is it shows you their mindset in these verses. Just like, well, I mean, there's others, right? Well, Obadiah, all right? There's some in Isaiah. But let's read this real quick. Wisdom of Solomon 5 and 1.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in a great boldness.
The righteous man, you see, righteousness is only for us, the Bible tells you. It's not for any other nations. It's not for other people. It's for the Israelites, who are those black, Hispanic, natives, those scattered that fit the curses in the Bible, right? It says we can't fully stand in the full boldness as God until Christ returns. So the then he's talking about here is when Christ and the angels return in that V formation. He says, then shall we stand in great boldness. See, because now we stand bold, preaching the word. Right? Using the word to as a fire to quench up the lies, to bring down strongholds, cast down imaginations, like the scripture says. But it says, in that day, we'll stand in great boldness. Come on.
Before the face of such as have afflicted him.
Before the face of such as have afflicted them. That have afflicted him. So now you're starting to paint a picture here. In that day, see, because now, listen, anything we do, it's not for them. This is why we don't debate them. This is why we're not going to go on show. We don't have to prove to them that we're the Israelites. One, because they're not upright. They're crooked. They'll never receive it. Going back to what you guys were talking about, like when Esau says they Esau, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not impressive. Now that we've cleared that up, it's not impressive. It's not impressive when they say that, right? But some of our people fall for the okey-doke for that, and they get excited. That's not a real acknowledgement of anything. Because the Bible tells you it'll take Christ coming with the angels in that day that we're going to know, damn, this is the one that afflicted us. Come on.
And made no account of his labors.
He didn't make any account of our labors, meaning that we're the princes of God, the glory, that we're the ones that created anything good in the earth, the aqueducts, the reservoirs, all the even more modern-day inventions that they take credit for, and it's been our people that have done it, our labors in righteousness. See, once upon a time, this was our wisdom in the sight of the nations, these commandments. And guess what? It will be again. I often say that what you would, to wrap your mind around it, what you would see as the Constitution and the governing laws of any land, that's what the Bible is going to be for the whole earth.
Hey, so much so that they called it the judicial system.
Yes.
Here in this country.
Yes.
And that is based off of what? Off of our heritage.
Yep.
Because they understood that it's the right scripture you just brought out about the righteousness.
The righteous man will stand. This one.
Yeah.
The righteous man will stand in great boldness.
No, you brought out another one about righteousness.
Oh, that righteousness belongeth unto us.
Right. So they understood, stand that scripture.
Yes.
But they turned the tables upside down. Yes. Righteousness belongs to them under the guise of manifest destiny.
Right. And this is when that goes into when they frame mischief by law. They take that whole concept of righteousness and they pervert it to justify themselves. So it says the righteous man is going to stand in great boldness before the face of such as have afflicted him. That is basically going to be like, It's time. Right? Read on.
When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear.
Those that have afflicted us, when they see it, when they see what? When they see Christ, black as night, white woolly hair, all the angels coming that way. And when they see that they're coming for us and not them, it says they shall be troubled with terrible fear.
And you think the Most High won't give those that do make it the satisfaction of being able to say, ha ha?
Yeah.
For the scripture says that.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, that. Yeah.
Hey, that's part of that great boldness. Right? This is the reward of all the saints. I know which one you're talking about. Go ahead.
And shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation.
Why? The strangeness, because it's gonna look like something out of a sci-fi movie. It's going to be like something, what they call UFOs, and they're expecting little gray men with big eyes to come out of that thing. It ain't going to be that. The strangeness of the salvation is what they see as UFOs, understanding in that moment. You know when you look at something and they say your mind can't process it?
Yeah.
You go into a state of shock?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a mass effect of that in that day, right? And what that's also telling you as you read these verses is that they're full of crap when they say they're Esau.
Mm-hmm.
That they don't really know, that they don't understand, and they won't fully know and embrace it until this day. It says the strangeness of his salvation. When they see the way the angels look with the three heads and the four wings and the wings on here and that, we've seen different brothers depicted. And when they say, wait a second, I thought this was going to be little gray men. That was gonna, you know, like that scene in Independence Day when some of them were on, I'm talking about the first one, not the crap one.
Right.
When they were on the roof. And they're like, take me, and they're all dressed up on the roof, and then they get shot down. That's exactly what's going to happen. That's where they got it from. They got it from the Bible.
Right. They're going to walk away like Close Encounters of the Third Kind with the little skinny midget.
Right. Yes.
Whatever thing, bro.
Yes.
Right? And they're going to just go and be happy. Nah, it didn't work that way.
Right. It ain't going to work that way, holding hands. Yeah, I'm going to hold your hands and throw you off a cliff.
Play
that's
piano.
What's going to happen.
I ain't going to be none of that crap.
Right. Hey, Independence Day was like that too with the lights, right? The lights were flashing and they were like, oh, they're trying to message us.
Yeah.
They're trying to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they see the thing, oh, it's opening up. They're coming for us. And when there's a freaking laser beam that comes down and disintegrates them, like, oh, and they're going to freak out. So it says the strangeness of his salvation. Come on.
So far be gone, all that they look for.
So it means their minds won't be able to comprehend it. They're not going to be able to realize what they're seeing. Because in their minds, they're the superior race. They're the ones that have to give us the handout, that they're the ones that are civilizing us. Read on.
And they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit shall stay within themselves.
It says, and them repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit. That's like, was it Robert Kennedy or J.F. Kennedy when he says, imagine if you go that day and you realize that God was black. Everything we've built, we're doing to them and everything. And then you realize that God is black. In that moment, they're going to see that. And it says, and they repenting and groaning for anguish of spirit. Because they're going to realize that they've done messed up.
Hey, don't be fooled by that statement. He knew when he made that statement, what he was saying.
Yeah,
yeah. He had to be politically correct, man.
Yep.
He knew that, you know, that they weren't allowed to fly anyway.
And they took him out anyway. Right. And it says, and they shall say within themselves, come on.
This was he, whom we had sometimes in derision.
Who we had some, meaning they're going to tear. You know how now they say slavery was 400 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was then. Oh, white people were enslaved too. What about the Slavs, all this other stuff? Oh, Asians didn't get treated right out here too.
I've heard that argument.
Right. It says in that moment and in that day, this is why we're gonna be able to stand in great boldness. It says they're gonna say, this was he whom we had sometime in derision. Come on.
And proverb of reproach.
That's Deuteronomy 28:37. A proverb of reproach, a proverb and a byword. Whether the Lord will lead us among all nations, they're going to know. They're going to feel it in their spirit. Come on.
We fools account of his life madness.
Yeah, they crazy. Look at them. They're like animals killing each other. They're uncivilized. We got to help profit them up. Or when they hear us preaching, oh, y'all crazy. Y'all bugged out. You have those apologists out there and all their doctrines. We got to subvert them. They're like the Pharisees. They're every negative thing they said, now they're going to call themselves fools. They said, we accounted his life madness. Come on.
And his end to be without honor.
Meaning that, you know what else that shows you? That in their minds, their version of the kingdom of heaven, I've said this before, the only reason any of them are okay with our people being in their version of the kingdom of heaven is because they think it's going to be the same class structure that you have now.
They still envision Sunday church.
Yes.
Right. With an Edomite pastor teaching.
Yes.
And us sitting down in a pew.
And a Mamie cooking for them.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, man.
They think that's what the kingdom of heaven is going
to
be
that's
like.
That's why I can't believe anyone that says that they subscribe to being Israel can even utter the words that Gentiles or heathen can be saved.
Yep.
It drives me nuts. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yep.
Like, what type of just God is that then?
Yep. Nope. So they said, his end to be without honor. It goes to show you what's in their heart when you read these verses, right? Come on.
How is he numbered among the children of God? And his lot is among the saints.
That last verse right there, verse 5, always gets my hair spinning up a little bit. Because that's that great boldness as we stand there. We say, damn, how are they numbered amongst the children of God and the saints? That's when they, because you know, now you bring up the scripture that we the saints. It's not St. Francis of Assisi. It's not St. whatever the Miela or whatever it is that they got there.
The
Miela. Right.
Right. That is heavy. Like, I'm just saying, like, yo,
Pookie,
he's
number
one. He's
number
of the saints.
Right.
Tyrone.
See, I
right.
told you mine.
Right. So let's get back. Let's get back to the illusion of inclusion. All right. So it says the illusion of inclusion has been defined as the sometimes subtle way that the standards can appear to adequately address race, letting you know that any policy they pass, anything they put out there, it's a subtle way, and it's only for appearance sake to address the issue of race. And we understand fully, those of us who are repenting and are blessed to be awake, all right, that it's never going to be fully addressed. That's why nothing should excite you. But their doctrine will bewitch you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It says if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. The white man's not so bad. No, listen, Jim Crow Joe's doing this. Is that? Is this that and the other? Look, he has a Blasian Elamite vice president, and she's a woman. It says, while at the same time...
We're getting somewhere.
At the same time, it marginalizes it. And that's an important part of the definition that's being brought out here. It's things that appear to adequately address race while at the same time marginalizing it. So, case in point, this came about because we were bringing... In war against all Puerto Ricans, how they gave them a governor, they gave them a seat at the table to speak and voice themselves, and it appears to address the issue of them not being a colony, but in actuality, what it really did was marginalize them more, because what they really needed was independence before the United States sapped all the wealth and resources out of them. Because now if they were to run with independence, we spoke about this on the show the week before last, they won't be able to really sustain themselves in a world economy, because it's not the same. The way the world is set up now, remember we went into the information economy versus the industrial and all that, knowledge economy, I'm sorry, versus the industrial economy. They won't be able to survive. Really, the only choice they have is statehood. That's the only way they can go. So it says the illusion of inclusion was characterized by Helen Turnbull, and I was trying to, I couldn't, I didn't have enough time. I was looking her up before coming to the show. She's a ugly, she looks like a Jabba the Hutt Edomite. Actually, no, she looks like, what's that Schwarzenegger movie with the chick with the...
Total Recall.
She looked like the, remember when he wore the mask of the woman in the airport? Ooh. That's how Helen Turnbull looks.
That's horrible.
Yes, that's how Helen Turnbull looks. Anyway, Helen Turnbull, she has different stuff about diversity and inclusion, and I was going to air it, but it's long. I was trying to cut it up, so... I don't know. We'll see. If the spirit moves it and we go deeper, we'll bring that out for her. Yeah. Right. the illusion of inclusion was characterized by Helen Turnbull in terms of diversity and inclusion using the baking of a cake as an analogy, right? So this is the analogy that she uses. Diversity was characterized as the mix, and inclusion was characterized as the effort that it takes to make the mix work. With the analogy set, she concluded that having a diverse workforce does not guarantee that you understand how to make the mix work or how to unlock its full potential. So she talks in the corporate world about workforce and stuff like that. But I like this analogy because what it says is the mix is the melting pot, right? That's another term that you would hear with the United States, the great melting pot. And inclusion, to actually make that mix work, you have to be able to know and understand how to unlock its full potential. But what we just read in the Bible lets you know that the mix will never work based on what we understand in the scriptures. And that's the whole joke of this whole thing, of racial equality and all this other stuff. That's the whole joke behind the whole thing. That's what, and it's a joke because, you know what I'm saying, you know, when the Most High says he'll have them in derision, right? He's going to be laughing in their calamity at this stuff because it can't work. It's like oil and water that don't, that you can shake it for a little bit, but then they're invariably going to separate, right? One is going to rise and the other is going to sink. That's just the way that it is. You got something you're going to bring up?
Yeah, just so if Habakkuk says their spirit is not upright in them, how in the hell can they push for equality?
Mm-hmm.
Their spirit's not right. They don't have that in their spirit to give up what they stole from us. You understand what I'm saying? They, there's no way in the world. Just want to bring up a quick script along the same vein, all right? Because we may have some new brothers and sisters out here that they may be deceived by the nice Edomite or the nice Elamite or the nice Ishmaelite, all right? But predominantly Esau. 1 Corinthians 11 and 14 and 15.
And make sure you clear your throat each time before you leave, all right?
Yes, sir.
It's like each time.
This 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 and 15.
Yes, please.
Yes, sir. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. Do not even nature itself teach.
2 Corinthians, I'm sorry.
Oh, 2 Corinthians.
My bad. Okay. That one's good, too. Double highlight that as well.
Double highlight. Oh.
No, what scripture goes on void.
The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And no man marvel. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
Okay, every time you have a friendly neighborhood Edomite that you starting to feel comfortable with, you better recognize the scripture right here. Okay, trust me, all right? I will never, and not that I really did, okay, but I will never hang out with an Edomite, ever. They kill you, okay? They're weird. They're crazy. Okay, they really are, man. You know, go ahead.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as a minister of righteousness.
So don't be fooled by your friendly neighborhood Edomite.
Right.
Because it's saying, Paul is saying right here, it's no great thing. All right, because Satan, which is their God, which is the spirit that they roll in, all right, can transform himself, all right, as righteousness. Go ahead.
Whose end shall be according to their work.
Yes, we already know what their end is. They are the only neighbor of the Israelites, and I'm paraphrasing from the Donovan Dictionary,
mm-hmm.
That no promise of mercy was given to.
Right. That's not paraphrasing. That's an exact quote.
Right. Oh, I did pretty good?
Yeah, that's an exact quote.
Oh, okay, all right. So that's the end of verse 15 right there. Whose end shall be according to their works, because they have done nothing but evil under the guise of what we're going over now, illusion of inclusion.
That's it. That's exactly it. That's a great point. And it goes with the analogy that we just read. The mix is just the fact that we're here amongst them, but they have no idea the effort that it takes to make that mix work. Why? Because we don't have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, and that's what they are. We can't. What? Where's the other one where it talks about can the lamb lie down with the wolf?
Oh, that's in the Sirach.
Yep. Get that real quick because that's really what it's talking about when it talks about the mix, right? So I'll read that again as they look up the scripture. So the illusion of inclusion was characterized by Helen Turnbull in terms of diversity and inclusion, using the baking of a cake as the analogy. Diversity was characterized as the mix. So right, you buy a little Betty Crocker cake mix, the little powder that comes in there. It says diversity on it, right? And inclusion was characterized as the effort that it takes to make the mix work. So meaning you there and you got to, you know, stir in the eggs, melt the butter, all that stuff like that. With the analogy set, she concluded that having a diverse workforce does not guarantee that you understand how to make the mix work. Can't find it?
Yeah, well, thanks. I'm on a blank right now.
Yeah, let me Google it real quick.
The one where every beast lover of his kind, all that stuff?
I know. I know you got Precept Brothers watching the show, and they're like, yo, so Rob 13, 17. Let me see.
I'm going to get a phone call. Captain's going to bring it out.
All right. Yeah, so let's start at 15.
The book of Sirach, chapter 13, verse 15.
Now, you remember, scriptures have multiple uses, multiple meanings. We bring this out also to talk about evil spirits that like to commiserate together. But I'm going to do this strictly from a different spirit. Because like you were saying when you quoted Habakkuk, Cap, their spirit's not upright in them, right? They're crooked. We were made to be upright and made to be gods and righteous. So the whole thing of us having racial equity with them, that's why I say it's a fallacy. It's not supposed to be that way. This is why it's never going to make sense, right? So go ahead, read that.
The book of Sirach, chapter 13, verse 15. Every beast loveth his like, and every man loveth his neighbor.
Every beast loveth his like, right? So lions chill with lions, right? Hyenas chill with hyenas. You see it all through nature. Sharks don't swim with goldfish.
No,
they eat goldfish, right? There's a hierarchy all over the place. That's how the Most High created everything in order in the earth, right? So it says, and every man loveth his neighbor. And the neighbor that he's talking, see, Esau Christianity will have you read this, and it means loving mankind. No, we understand, according to Leviticus 19, 17, and 18, who your neighbors are. And that's the children of your people, the Israelites. Just like Esau's going to love Esau, Elam's going to love Elam.
It's funny you said that because I was having a conversation with somebody and we were talking about racism. And I said, there's always going to be racism because racist means that you prefer your race. And this scripture proves that every man loveth his neighbor.
Right.
Like who wouldn't prefer their own race?
Yeah. You're a traitor to your race if you don't prefer
Absolutely.
Your race. So you're saying it's you're supposed to prefer people that are not your people or not your race over your own. You're going to say that they're a better race than you? Hey, even in that movie Get Out, while they admitted that we were a superior race, mm-hmm. they didn't want to live like, they didn't want to be us. They only wanted our bodies. They didn't want our mind. They just wanted our genetics.
They wanted our promises.
Right. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's true. You go deeper in that. That kind of symbolizes that. Come on, read.
All flesh concerneth according to kind, and a man would cleave to his life.
So he's letting you know that when you look through the animal kingdom, all flesh, consortive according to kind. Yeah, you'll have some smart ass that'll say, well, look, no, there's this bird that's always on top of the whale, and there's this and there's that. Listen, that's called a mutual beneficial relationship type of thing that's going on there. That's not the same as consorting with its kind. When them whales are out to sea, right, there ain't no birds on them when they're under the water and stuff like that, right? Like that's, because you'll see different things where they'll say, look, these this is an odd pair.
Well, the hell, the whale can't knock the bird off. He's going to be where he's going to be.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
they sit on everything.
Right.
It just happened to be an opportunity. That's all that was. Man.
Right, right. So it says, and a man will cleave to his like. It's the same thing. Come on.
Well, fellowship, have the wolf with the lamb.
Right. This is why I say we bring this out spiritually a lot, but I want you to see this just in its physicality, right? What fellowship have the wolf with the lamb? Wolves eat lambs.
Bring it out.
Wolves eat lambs. There's no fellowship to be had there. Come on.
So the sinner with the godly.
Right? So the sinner with the godly. And they, listen, while we can be sinners, right, when you're looking at it from the overarching perspective, just like Cat brought out in the Zondervan, they have no promise of mercy. So that's something where you want to run from somebody like that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be having fellowship with them. Come on.
Verse 17. Verse 18, what agreement is there between a hyena and a dog?
And I love this one, because guess what? A hyena is a dog,
right?
But it's a different type of dog. Just like we're all people, just like the scripture tells you in 2nd Ezra, we all come from Adam, but then his chosen come from there. And he says, and as for the other people, they are like unto spittle. They're like nothing, right? So he says, listen, even he gets more granular, right? Because, see, the Most High knew what our rebuttals would be.
Yep.
He knew what the rebuttals of the other nations would be. So he says, I'm going to obliterate these objections. He says, what agreement is there between the hyena and a dog? None. Even though they're both canines, None. Come on.
And what peace between the rich and the poor?
Listen, talking about class division now. Mm-hmm. There is no peace between the rich and the poor. Remember, you want to get spiritual on this. We're poor in spirit, and they're the rich in the world. Mm-hmm. But later, when we bring out Ecclesiastes 10, all right, you're going to see the flip-flop of this thing, right? And they're also rich in the world, and we're poor physically, right? Is that it on that? Oh, no, come on, read. Come on, 19. Don't
verse
lose
19.
It.
As the wild ass is the lion's prey in the wilderness, so the rich eat up the poor.
This goes with how they don't let us go, right? How they had us in oppression together, and they cannot let us go. It says, just like the wild ass is the lion's prey in the wilderness, so the rich eat up the poor. That's our portion now. Our job is not to be friends with them. Their job is not to be friends with us. There's another scripture that tells you that they're the ministers, all right, that he uses mm-hmm. to afflict these curses upon us. They're God's tools for this thing. So it says, as the wild ass is the lion's prey in the wilderness, so the rich eat up the poor, right? So read on. Come on. We're not done. Verse 20. We'll stop.
Verse 20. As the proud hate humility.
The proud hates humility. Come on.
So do the rich abhor the poor.
They hate us. They hate us. So no matter what they tell you, no matter what it says, God says they abhor us. That's a strong hatred, disdain.
Two things, that doesn't even make sense, that statement.
Wait, when you think about it.
No, I'm serious.
Trying to go logically, right?
Logically, why should the rich hate the poor? They got everything. You know why? They don't have everything. Mm-hmm. They have material things, and the things that they got through force. They stole it. Okay, this is why they will never, another reason why there will never be equality, because they know in the spirit, it's a spiritual thing, and it's hard to explain. You have to understand from a spiritual perspective where this is coming from. Okay, it's just like you'll walk into a room, never met this person before, but they don't like you, right? Somebody walks into a room looking all sharp and stuff like that, like, women normally do that. Oh, look at her, who does she think she is? They don't even know this woman, right? It's a spiritual thing, man. They know deep down. That's what that scripture is talking about. That although they have everything right now in the palm of their hands, they still hate them. How do you hate somebody that don't have nothing?
Yeah, right.
That's the point I'm making with that verse right there. Okay? Now, real quick, give me Genesis 10:32, because we still may have people that watch this after the live thing that I still have Caesar Borgia in their mind. All right? Fake image of Christ. We may have some people watching on now.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They need to understand what y'all brothers and sisters watching now or later in the replay need to understand is that the Most High God never wanted equality. So they're trying to promote something under the guise of we're looking out for you because we're sorry for what we did to you over all those years that will never stand, which is what Cap has been talking about. Because this is, Genesis means the beginning, right? This was in the book of Genesis. Everything that is living today was established. That's what this Genesis is about. There's 18 nations, 18 nations only. They were established in the book of Genesis after the flood. And it's just talking about after the flood. Let's look at this metaphorically. The flood signifies washing all the stuff that they're trying to do to us now. Unite us and make us one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Most High God didn't want that. So I got to flood the earth and start anew with Noah, okay, and his family. Here we go. But he made a stipulation. This is the stipulation after the flood. Read it.
The book of Genesis, chapter 11, verse 32. These are the families of the sons of Noah after their generation and their nation.
In their nation, that's possessive, their nation. Go ahead.
And their nation. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood.
I thought Most High was about equality.
But, you know,
I thought he's about equality. He set division from the get. There's the other right. scripture that says that he divided the nations according to the portion of Israel.
I know for that one.
All right. So listen, man, you can't come with that Christianity doctrine, man.
And that's really what it is.
Yeah, that was created by Esau. Mm-hmm. And come on, man. You can't run a Willy Bobo on us with
there,
this.
And the verse.
Can't do it.
22. And then we
Willy
know.
Bobo.
No, bro, I'm just joking. It's just all names.
Oh, what?
He would have been.
You got it. But I had a sore throat, some clearing his throat.
I have mercy today. I hope you don't mind.
I was trying to find the hardest one. You know what? Jump to verse 26.
Because ever since Cain and Abel, ever since after Cain and Abel, it's always been a division. You got the sons of wicked, you got the sons of man, you got the sons of God.
Hey, I didn't want to go there.
Right.
But even chapters before this,
exactly.
He made Adam, and then he made male and female, made he them. I'm not going to go there because that's mad deep, and we can't go there.
Hey, all right? Even chapters before that.
Right.
Boom.
Hey, I'm going to jump down some because I want to be able to show some of the videos and comment on that because I know we'll have a lot of commentary.
You're heavy,
bro. Let's jump down to where it says race and ethnicity. I can always circle back to the culture piece of stereotypes and bring the sociology book in, like in a future episode, Lord's will. But let's jump down to race and ethnicity as it pertains to the illusion of inclusion, right? Because I want to show a couple of these videos that I queued up. So it says many European Americans, that's another term for Esau, all right? So Edom, Caucasians. Many white people believe that the end of racism has been accomplished and that the United States is a colorblind country, right? And it's funny because it is a belief for them. Mm-hmm. This is when you'll see, I remember we couldn't find good clips on it when I said we had that show. We had the white family that put on makeup like black.
Yeah.
I think it was called Black and White or whatever. While living in racial isolation, right? Because they don't live amongst us. So they have a skewed view of the world. It's like they live in a bubble. While living in racial isolation, e.g. in the suburbs, gated communities, public private schools, even their religious services, close associations that are primarily exclusively with other whites. Their view of the world is white-centric, right? It's white-centric. So it says European Americans are able to receive an abundance of work opportunities, schooling that translates to upward mobility, to have properties that appreciate in value, and live where crime is not generally a concern. This version of America, because it's a version of America, not the real America,
mm-hmm.
then becomes projected onto the rest of the country, right? It's the flood. And then it's projected onto the rest of the country. Their encounter with non-European America, meaning us, Israelites, blacks, Hispanics, natives, mostly occurs through television. So you have shows like Power. You see things like Jews, Boys in the Hood. Or Menace to Society.
Empire.
This is what they see, right? You see the Cardi B's and, you know, back then, what were they scared of? NWA and Ice Cube and all of them.
That's why they take tours through, like, Harlem and things like that.
Yes.
They got a bus that does.
Yes.
Double decker bus.
You know how, like, we get on the bus and we go. Yeah, they
yeah.
do. And you're right. In New York,
yeah,
they do.
Yeah,
they take you through
that.
There.
Yeah.
You know how we got on the bus and we went and we saw Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
They do that to us.
Yeah.
Hey, that's like that episode of The Twilight Zone where the people were in the zoo and they thought they were living a regular life.
Yeah,
and the people were outside
yeah,
looking.
Excellent.
Bro, man, them old Twilight Zone.
Yeah,
woo,
that dude was deep, good. I need that Edomite in the. Well, I'm
not going to
eat him. We're
going to
think
of him. No, he'll be our storyteller. No, he could be a storyteller. Let them. Listen, yeah, I want Jerry Bruckheimer, Steven Spielberg to make movies just for, you know, I'll be like, so you know how like now you're like, yo, let's come over and watch the big screen? Yo, let's come over. I got Steven Spielberg. He wrote a whole epic for us to watch.
Yeah, but I want it to be the actor, too, that gets shot.
Right, right.
Get stabbed.
Yeah, yeah. You know how they like to make cameos in the movies?
Yeah.
But we want their cameo to be where they get, like jacked up.
Hurry up, Steve. That 1,000 years is running out.
Right. Yeah. And I say him because of all his fake shitless list and all that stuff
right.
like that. Like Bishop calls it shitless list. The pianist, all these different things. I tell you, they get you. They pull at your heartstrings with that stuff. Man, I remember even reading in high school. I'm going to jump back on topic. Night by Eli Wiesel, right?
Eli
and it talks,
Wiesel.
Man,
that's good.
Bro, that thing had me
that's
like,
good,
I wrote a whole powerful,
yeah.
I wrote a tour de force essay on that thing.
The Diaries of Anne Frank.
Oh, they get you with that one.
She lived in a cupboard for 20 years.
Well, and again,
she never grew.
It goes to show you that dominant culture, that white-centric world. Because I didn't go to no, we grew up in the projects. I went to a school where it was our people and it was hood as hell, and they got me reading Eli Wiesel, Night. How come they didn't have me reading something about like our people, something of value?
Hey, they
something.
Had everybody in the hood reading Eli Wiesel. That,
right.
was, that made no damn sense.
Got me reading Lenny and George of
Mighty
Men.
That was a good book.
It was a good book. It was a good book. It was a good book. Flowers for Algernon.
Nah,
that was another one that got me.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh, To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah.
No, I remember Flowers for Algernon because that thing was jacked up, bro. He was like Down syndrome and messed up. and they came up with a treatment that made him not only not Down syndrome, but he was supremely intelligent, successful, started getting women, and then the medicine started to wear off. So at the end of the book, he's back to an invalid state after experiencing all this greatness and stuff like that. And you know that that's actually them. That's a parallel to this. They know that they were nothing. They had a time of rulership, and they're going to go back to nothing.
That's crazy, man.
Yep. But anyway, let me jump back on this.
It's out of here.
So, well, you know, the power of plus brings the heat. The power of plus brings the heat. European Americans, imagine we had the big Irma, are able to receive an abundance of work opportunities, schooling that translates to upward mobility, to have properties that appreciate in value and live where crime is not generally a concern. This version of America then becomes projected onto the rest of the country. Their encounter with non-European America mostly occurs through television with a range of stereotypes. For example, criminal, athlete, success story. Just shucking and jiving. Mm-hmm. They say, that's why they don't have the audacity. They say, well, you got LeBron James. You got, I don't got LeBron James money, and that somehow justifies the all the atrocities they've done to us. It says can be selected. Depictions of racial minorities in advertisements and token representations in important public and private positions reinforce the perception of racism having ended. So you'll see a black cop. They'll put a black nurse or a black doctor on a billboard, and they tell you, see, racism is over. Mm-hmm. And that's not the case, right? The illegality of being able to discriminate on the basis of skin color. And we know it's beyond skin color. It's really just because we come in all shades, even Judah, all shades,
yep.
Right? I've met some brothers and sisters that I was ready to peg them as Northern Kingdom. I've said this before. We got to get the stereotypical view of what represents Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom out of our mind. There's Northern Kingdom in Africa that look blacker than black.
The Yorubas.
Right. Yep. And we also run with the stereotypes in our mind of how our people look, because this is how a lot of Northern Kingdom look now, so this is how we run with it. But so it's beyond skin color. So it says denying access to employment, housing, public accommodations, and so I guess from what I've heard, them would kind of cover this aspect of what we're reading, so I want to check that show out. It leads to colorblind conclusions that the social and economic disparities between racial groups are due to reasons other than racism or discrimination. So there's this whole mass psychological effect, and it's not by accident. The part that this article doesn't tell you is that the Chaldeans, all right, the elite of this world, they manipulate these things. This is why they created a field like psychology. This is why they created a field like sociology. Mm-hmm. So that they can then, listen, Willie Lynch was the genesis of what you have today. They took Willie Lynch and they expounded it beyond measure to the point where as slaves, we walk around believing that we're free. Let me tell you, it is more profound, the captivity of our minds, not knowing who we are, defending them to the death, the disunity and the disunion that we have amongst our people, that is more profound than any chains that they could put on our neck. They knew they could not keep us forever in chains because our strength and our might, eventually we would have said, man, there's only one boss on this thing and 50 of us.
One shotgun and a rifle.
They started to see the uprisings and they said, eventually these things are going to be successful. Mm-hmm. It's only a matter of time before we can not contain them anymore. We need to switch this strategy up. And you have things like sociology and psychology today. And it creates this illusion. Remember, we're talking about the illusion of inclusion, of that the disparities between racial groups is because we don't pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. Has nothing to do with them. It has nothing to do with racism or discrimination. So they create this lie, right? This television, this advertising, all this stuff like that to make us believe, right, or try to, that it doesn't exist. It says, now, coupled with the ideology of neoliberalism, and I'll just highlight this for a second. Sometimes the definition pops up. Can you hover over it? Neoliberalism? No, hover over it. I'm sorry, I didn't mean highlight. So just hover over it, and it'll pop up. Neoliberalism, or neoliberalism, the 20th century resurgence of the 19th century ideas associated with economic liberalism and free market capitalism. It is generally associated with policies of economic liberalization, including privatization. So basically saying that anybody has access to upward mobility. Anybody can have all the same opportunities, right? I'm oversimplifying it, but for the purpose of what we're doing here with illusion of inclusion, that's what it's talking about. It says, where the functions of the market have presumably rid society of racism's irrationality. So they're trying to say that we're not last hired, first fired anymore because we got LeBron James, because we have certain black CEOs, because we have a black vice president, because we had a black president.
That's an exception, not the rule.
Right, right. And that's the subtle changes. Remember the beginning?
Yep.
That seemingly addresses it, but continues to marginalize it. Because there has been no, and listen, I'm not saying this to gripe at the system. We brought out at the outset of the show with Wisdom of Solomon 5 and reference to other scriptures that it's always going to be this way. But what I'm trying to show you is the way they try to manipulate our people, right? And how it works. And this is why on a mass scale you see this, right? So it says, the function of the market have presumably rid society of racism's irrationality. Colorblindness allows for European Americans to view the inequalities of race as a consequence of cultural pathologies within racial minorities, meaning it's because you guys are lazy. It's because you guys don't like to work. It's because you guys don't have good work for it. It's because you guys are dumb. It's because you guys are not as intelligent. You have free schooling. You have this. You have that. Never fully, you know how they talk about the black experience? Never fully understanding the Israelite experience, right, and what that's like. And they never will. It's not in them to do so, all right? It's not in them to do so. Consequently, being able to set aside the historic and present-day racist practices. This goes into when they tell you, but that was 400 years ago. That has no relevance today. So being able to set aside the historic and present-day racist practices that produce and racialize equality. European Americans then are able to make the claim that African Americans and other racial minorities are the ones who culturally construct their own disadvantages. Now, I'll say this, not in the way that they mean it.
Yeah, right.
But they are not wrong in that.
Right.
Our disadvantages are culturally constructed of our own people. Right. We are in the conditions that we're in because of our sin, mm-hmm, of not serving our God with gladness of heart and doing what he needs to say. Make no mistake about that. But they definitely haven't given us any ease while we've gone through it. They've exceeded past that. And the way the world is structured and how it's set up, they try to make it seem that it's on you. So not, we know it's on us because of our disobedience to God. It's not on us because of all the reasons that they say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I want to show a video. Let me see which one I want to pull up. Let's go to the one that says Project Let's Get Real, Race, Equity, and Leadership. Let's start at that one. Actually, no. Before you get to that one, let's do the one with the chick. Five things you should know about racism. Let's talk about it.
Blow it up. Make it big.
All right. Now, she does it with a little lighthearted humor, but let's get through this one. She just gonna stay there like that? Okay.
Little triangle to low left.
Can you want to at least tell us what's going on?
In action.
Instead of just leaving us here looking at this? You know, that. Oh, you're putting up the disclaimer. Okay. Oh, it takes a little communication because we get quiet. You know you're not supposed to have dead air, right? Like a thing in there.
So it was crazy. One of the stories they have read back in the day was the most dangerous game. And like that kind of gave me like, yo, this is how Esau actually thinks. Like they want to hunt us. Like basically, I don't know if you ever read it. It's basically about this rich guy inviting all these people, these great hunters, to his house.
That's like that movie Surviving the Game with Ice-T.
Yeah, something like that. So he invited them. He said, you know what? We're not going to hunt animals. We're going to hunt humans. I'm going to hunt you. And you guys have until 24 hours to survive. If you survive, I will give you this money. I will give you this house. So basically, like, he just got bored with just hunting animals. He was like, you know what? I'm going to go after you. So basically, the moral of the story is it's not the most scariest and dangerous thing in the world are human beings, which is evil. You know what I mean? They're the most dangerous. They're always cunning, always looking for something to hunt, trying to always spark their interest. What sparks the interest? So, like, when I was young, when I was reading that, I was like, yo, this is how they really think. This is how they look at it. Now, looking the way things are going now, us being hunted in the street, being shot down by the police, it's the most dangerous game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what they're doing to us, and And this is like, damn, like they was throwing the stuff in my face.
What's it called?
The Most Dangerous Game.
The Most Dangerous Game.
Yes.
Oh, are you ready? Are you moving your head around to let me know you're ready? Okay. You could tell me that you're ready. All right.
Now I'm talking, man. Come on.
Raise it up. Right. Nobody wants to talk about it. Now, some of what she says is whatever, but just read between the lines. Stop. Remember that part. Remember that part. Okay, you guys are slow on the trigger. I said stop. Just click on the screen. It'll stop. Okay. It says racism in the dictionary is defined as prejudice and power. There's a difference because we've been hearing the definition that she brought out, the first one,
mm-hmm.
that talks about the preference for race and everything like that. And the reason I want you to remember that definition, when we talk about reverse racism later, and I'll show you the clip of the British comedian, you're going to understand that just by the proper definition of racism that she brought out in the dictionary, it's prejudice and power, meaning they are mutually exclusive to each other. Right, in the definition of racism.
Yeah, the first one she said was the intolerance to another race or race.
Right,
right.
Yeah.
So it's just like you can, like I think it was Paul Mooney said, you can stand on the corner and say I'm gonna kill somebody all you want, right? Holding a knife and everything, but if you never kill somebody, then you're never a murderer.
Right.
You don't have the power to do it, so you've never become
right.
that.
Right. Right. Exactly. So prejudice and power. Just hold that with you as the definition of racism as we continue to watch through the video. Okay.
Okay, are we waiting for something again?
Right. So stop. She's supposed to be that's an Edomite,
mm-hmm.
right? Like just so you get it, because this is the European Americans that we just read about. This is their mentality, right? So go ahead. Now, like I said, so this is part. She says some good stuff coming up, but the whole good people thing, we know they're not good people, right? The Bible says they're not upright, okay? We know they're not good people. It says that they're going to devour the poor. Come on. Stop. You know what that reminds me of? When somebody gets caught, like a celebrity or whatever, saying something racist,
mm-hmm.
and then they say, well, I'm not racist, I didn't mean that, right? So she's trying to talk about intent, and then they say, you know, you got to say I'm sorry, and then don't do it anymore. But you know they go back behind the scenes. They're sorry mm-hmm. that they said it publicly and they got caught.
Yeah, that's scriptural. A man slips his tongue, but not from his heart.
Right, exactly. So she's mentioning, right, the proper way to correct it is that, but that's not what they do, right? That's a different thing. Go ahead. Stop. So that's a lie, right? So you see, this is some information that's going out there about racism, and you got to filter through it because she said a couple good things, but she's saying other stuff. Cap just brought it out when he was bringing out the scripture earlier. And he was talking about the 18 nations and the division, right? And he said it about the bounds of man. Race is not a social construct. It is something that God brought out. It is something that God created. You said you had it. Let's read it real quick. We didn't read it earlier where it says he divided it by the portion of Israel. He divided the nation.
Deuteronomy 32 and verse 8.
Bring it out.
Hey, and let's not forget, all right, I'm going to have to get it out for time's sake, but the scripture also says, if I'm not mistaken, in Genesis 6, when they built the Tower of Babel, let us make a name for our own selves. So they understood that there was separation and distinction between each other.
Go ahead, bring it up.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 8. When the Most High divided the nations of their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the children of the children of Israel.
Right, so he says everybody has an inheritance. Esau has an inheritance. His inheritance is no mercy. Everybody has an inheritance. Actually, his inheritance is being lived right now. This is his kingdom.
I was just going to say, exactly, because that was Genesis 27 said.
Right. Yeah. And he says he set the bounds of the other nations based on that. This is what was mentioned to earlier when Kat brought out the other one. So what she's saying about race being a social construct is not true. All right. God divided us by race, by nation. Go ahead. So you see what society teaches? She said marriage is a social construct.
Yep.
She said good and evil is a social construct, meaning that there's no good and evil. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says good is set against evil, right?
Her mouth is frustrating me.
Right, right. But she's going to get to a point that I want to bring out about reverse racism. Go ahead. But I wanted to show you the lies in the midst of this. This is why the racism is still perpetrated, right? Even in her trying to break down an understanding of racism, and then, of course, they put the face of our people, mm-hmm. right? You see the mixed cues. And our people, instead of cueing in on the definitions that she did give, that are accurate, will focus on all this other stuff, all this other fluff.
Gotta be careful, Cap. They're gonna say that every single people worship golden calves.
Oh, that's right. They are gonna say that. And look at her hand signal, and we paused it just on that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
okay. No, you're not getting. Okay.
Okay. All right. Go ahead. No, well, I didn't read it, so okay. I just saw the picture. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Yeah, they do say that. See everybody the same, which is what they do, which is what they always do. Mm. Sort of, for sale, sort of. All right, stop. So the points that I want you to look at, first of all, she says racism is prejudice with power.
Mm-hmm.
She said when people come to you that are other races and they tell you reverse racism and whatever because you say I'm a white person or whatever, that's racial prejudice. That's not the same thing as racism.
Yep.
Racism requires the power to enact oppression on groups of people, not just an individual. And the institutions, basically this whole thing that this country is set up and founded on, is predicated on racism. This is why the kingdom of heaven is going to be flipped the way it is.
Yep.
There's not going to be that unity. There's not going to be the wolf lying down with the lamb.
Right.
It's going to be flipped from what it is now. I think I remember one time we went to Harlem Camp. I was talking to Captain Aparian, and we were talking about simple ways to explain to our people, you know, what the kingdom of heaven is going to be like. And none of us can imagine, tells you I have not seen or whatever. But I say, hey, you know, you want to oversimplify for people? It'll be like now, except we'll be on top. Meaning the garbage man will be the white person, the servants will be the white people and everything. Just us on top.
Like, you're right.
They won't be working on the Sabbath.
You're like, you're right. That is hard to imagine.
Right. Right.
You're right. Eyes have not seen, ears have
right.
not heard.
Eyes
right.
have not seen that. The ears have not heard that. Now, so she talks about the reverse racism piece. Now, get me to click with the comedian because he said this as a joke, and it's pretty funny. But he's going to give you a more concise thing than what she did. No, that's not it.
See, one thing about comedians,
it's the Vox.
There's no joke in uh-huh. their acts, but like Chappelle, for example.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they may not stand by it.
Well, they make a lot of political statements in their comedy.
Yeah.
All right. Fear of a Brown Planet, Reverse Racism, this is called. Some of you might have seen this clip, all right? Are we setting up the, like, is there not a way to set up the disclaimers before? I mean, I sent them to you at 5 o'clock.
There is a way.
Are we waiting for a disclaimer again? Okay.
You guys were playing Jack
Sparrow? I don't know. No, maybe I don't know.
This reminds me of a book that was was called Hunting the Game, and it was like
I was about to say something though. I used to work you know, in the restaurant industry and all that, and I used to work at a high class restaurant. I'm not going to say the name because, you know, I don't want any issues. But
bro, Red Lobster is not.
No.
Burger King is not high class.
Waffle House is low budget.
Man. But the white servers, you know, they used to call the black tables BTs. Y'all ready?
You ready for us?
Thanks for
BTs.
Boom. Boom. I think that's the most concise.
Perfectly said.
I think that's the most concise, perfectly said, perfectly stated synopsis of what supposedly reverse racism is.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the definition that the other chick brought out. She said it's prejudice and power. That's what racism is. We have no power to enact any type of racism until that day. That's why it says in Wisdom of Solomon 5, within their spirit, they're going to see that and they're going to have great fear because they realize now what he's saying is going to be done. That's that turning of things upside down, being esteemed as the potter's clay. It's going to be wiped out. It's going to be wiped out so that we can just look at that thing and it says it's going to be like you woke up from a bad dream.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what happens when you wake up from a bad dream, right? For a moment, it's there. You'll have that realization. You'll have detail of it. And then it fades. The Most High is going to put us in a frame of mind where it's going to be as if it never happened. Whereas if it never happened. So I've always liked the way he brought that down. And now we had the other chick that brought out actual definitions, textbook definitions of what real reverse racism is about. I want to show the other video, but hold on, in a moment, the other one. Let's go back to the article. Hold on. I'm sorry, the illusion of inclusion. Go back to that. I want to see where we were. Oh, we have a caller. Okay. Put him through.
We're on another poster
to give out. No, it's on there along the bottom the whole time. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Ah, shalom, leadership. Hey, this is a very important topic that you're bringing out to the people. This whole nonsense about equality has been going on since the very beginning. When the serpent came to Eve, what was he selling? He was selling God membership, because Adam was already a God. And mm-hmm. you have to read between the lines of what he was saying. The original snake oil salesman was saying, "If you, Eve, if you can get your Lord to disobey his Lord, which is Christ, you'll be a God just like your husband." What was the snake oil salesman selling? God membership, equality. But equality doesn't exist. Remember, Esau has known this from the very beginning. When in the Constitution it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. But when you look at the definition of self-evident, it says it's so obvious that it doesn't have to be proven. Well, if you can't prove it, how do you know it's obvious? Mm-hmm. So you see the witchcraft
here? Hey, that's a good point with the self-evident, right?
Yeah.
It should be self-evident.
Yeah, that's a tricky word like self-evident. Yeah, that's
right.
Real fancy. It's just telling
right.
you don't have to dive into proving it because it doesn't exist. So that's the witchcraft that's got our people caught up to this very day. And Captain, you know, as you guys are bringing that out, and the woman's a little bit confused about it because the attack came at the very beginning with the woman. All praise to the Most High. You guys are doing a great job. Really appreciate you bringing out this
Hey, wait,
this topic.
Wait, before you go, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Ronald Elijah, and I'm calling from 29 Palms, California. I'm in the desert with you.
29 Palms. Hey,
I'm looking forward
and
to
you know
coming
what?
Down to the
Got you, brother.
I'm looking forward to coming
call,
down to your school in Phoenix so we can go over a topic that you brought up about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire, because the Lord is beginning to baptize the people's blood, like you brought out in your in one of your teaching. It has begun. So I'm looking forward to discussing that with you and meeting all the brothers in
all,
Arizona.
All praises,
all
brother.
Praises,
all praises.
Hey, all praise, brother. But, you know, self-evident is code talk for them, for the Edomites.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
That code talk.
That's that code talk. When they created that constitution, we know, all right, that it was created with them in mind. All right, that's where that whole manifest destiny came in. So, remember, just like politicians, they'll put code words out there. And if you're in the know, you're in the know, and you get it. You know,
that's
and that's
right.
What that self-evident
that's
means.
Right.
That's just like them putting statues of themselves of all the lands they conquered all over the world, right? That's to let themselves know and their generation after generations know, hey, we're in power, you know? So,
exactly.
Thank you for the call, brother. Thank you. Hey, producer, what happened to the Facebook feed? Can you let us know what happened to the Facebook feed? It says it ended.
Hey, you know why they put self-evident, right? Because like how it said that Satan showed Christ all the kings of the earth.
Yeah.
They're able to Satan's able to see, have them see the future. So they were prophesying, hey, this thing had to be in there too.
Mm.
Right? Mm. Like they said, okay, this has to be in there because there's going to come a time when these people are going to start to wake up and then look at these things. And then these words, these key trigger words, these dog whistles are going to put them right back to sleep.
Dog whistles. Send them back to sleep for some cells or something like that.
I just went to Facebook and it says this live video has ended.
Oh, well, YouTube is still there, huh?
Right. So I don't know. Is it me? Is it my connection? It says it'll be able to watch on the Power Hour.
Yeah, and let's not forget, every now and then, when their own kind starts falling away and start trying to support,
mm-hmm.
you bring them back to reality.
Mm-hmm. Right, you're right, absolutely.
You know, they're like, nah, what you doing, man?
Yep.
They get upset when they see Esau hanging out like with us.
Mm-hmm.
It bothers them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they got to reel them back into reality, man, you know?
Yep. All right, let's show the other video. You think you had it up. Wasn't that one? Nope, not that one. Yeah, let's get real. And this is just a snippet of different people. This is they speak specifically about Rochester, New York. But I just thought it was interesting. This is the one where you'll see some Edomites kind of their tongue falling on themselves in this one here. All right, go ahead.
My favorite.
After 7 years, you still like.
Stop. Notice. So this is what I say. You got to listen to, especially to what the Edomite is saying. He says we. He's speaking for the white race.
Mm-hmm.
And he says they like to pretend they don't see color. Listen, this is an aged Edomite giving you the inside scoop. He said we like to pretend we don't see color, letting you know this fallacy. It goes into what we read in the illusion of inclusion, right? There's this version of America that they see and that they live in, and they like to pretend that they don't see it. And they're not going to see it until, like what we opened up with Wisdom of Solomon 5, until that day. Go ahead. What he really just said, see, sometimes you can use words in a different way and still admit, he just admitted your guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what he just said is, we're guilty, but he said we like to think of ourselves as being innocent, right? Remember, I often say sometimes you have to go to the antonym of a word so that you can see that, right? So the antonym of innocent will be guilty, or the antonym of guilty would be innocent. And he said, we like to see ourselves as innocent.
That's code talk, too.
Right? That's code talk, letting you know that they're not innocent. Come on. So stop. This goes in, what this brother's talking about here goes into what I was saying. We're the ones that have to wind up adjusting our behaviors to try to avert that what's called affinity bias. Because... and he's going to talk about how he's big and this and that, and then he's black, and it's seen a different way. And affinity bias is a real thing whereby whatever the dominant culture is, you want to see people like you, and if they don't look like you, you want to see that they act like you. And that's what makes you comfortable, whether it's conscious or subconscious. It's important that you understand the subconscious piece of it, because that goes into the spirituality of how these people aren't right. Go ahead. Stop. I got to restate the definition of the illusion of inclusion that we were here based on what he's saying. He says, I basically have to adjust my whole being in order to attempt to have my voice heard. And even when my voice is heard, after I've made all these adjustments, they really don't want the input. It's tokenism, which goes back to the illusion of inclusion. And it's defined as the sometimes subtle ways that the standards can appear to adequately address race. Oh, you're the director here. You're the doctor of this United Way and this and that. And yes, we're hearing your concerns and everything like that. But at the same time, it marginalizes it. Why does it marginalize it? Because they don't really care. They don't really want to hear it. They don't really want your opinion or for you to be a part of anything. That's exactly what that's going into. Go ahead. This guy, every time this guy speaks, when I was watching this video, I said, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
I said, his people are going to take him out. Yo, you're saying too much. He said, from the moment they're born, they see whiteness as an advantage. They're taught to see whiteness as a, this is what they teach their kids.
Yep.
While we have to teach our children to make them so small, right? This is why the Bible's so powerful, right? Because we teach them how to be powerful the way God sees power, not the way the white man sees power, but still use wisdom as sheep among wolves amongst the people.
Right.
But without this Bible, what we're really teaching our children is the opposite of what he's talking about.
Right.
Be small. Be mindful of this stuff. You got to be careful. They're not going to see you the same. They're not going to take you the same. All this, that, and the other. Go back just to the beginning of when he started talking, just a few seconds. Thank you.
manifest destiny.
Right. Stop. Stop. Get me that in Genesis with the blessing. This is the advantage that he's talking about in this kingdom. It's something advantage. He said the advantage came to him. He said the advantage came to him. Go ahead. Go down to Esau's blessing.
Genesis 27, verse 39.
You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
The book of Genesis, chapter 27, verse 39. And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, Behold.
We start at 38.
Verse 38. And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
And now we're going to read the part where he says this wide advantage just came to him. Come on.
And Isaac, his father, answered and said unto him, Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above.
What's not said in this is the actual time frame of this. You get the time frame, the understanding of the time frame, when you read in Ezra's, where it talks about Esau's the end and Jacob's the beginning, right? Letting you know that this blessing was for this time. It's not the same blessing as the one that's eternal for us. Basically, he has a dispensation of time to have his white advantage. Yep. Go ahead.
And by thy sword shall thou live.
That's where it came from. He was given the blessing of warfare. Come on.
And shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck.
When he shall have the dominion, he will break his yoke from off. And he has the dominion now. That's what he's going into. All right, go back just a little bit again so he can say that part again now. Actually, go back to the beginning of what he said. We're almost done with this video. We'll start leading towards wrapping it up. Go ahead.
Stop 1 second. That's part of why some of them feel sorry and they want to be part of of the movements,
right?
Because they for a split second they get an attack of morality and they're like, I'm advantaged. That's what it is. It ain't because they love you. It's because it's guilt is what it is.
Exactly.
And under the guise of I care.
Right. Exactly. Right, so what he was saying is that they'll be down for your cause until it starts to affect their blessing, their wide advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And going to what you were saying, as long as they can stay in their position, they'll give you some crumbs. This is why it's not offensive when Christ said, when the woman, the Edomite said, even we can eat from the crumbs from the master's table.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an offensive thing because they do that to us.
Right.
Go ahead. Right, that's that bourgeoisie. Mm-hmm. No answers. That's our answer. That's our answer for the condition of our people.
Mm-hmm.
No answers. No answers. You can stop. There's not much better, she says after that. No answers. You got to understand something. Until you understand, and let's get Ecclesiastes 10. Until you, and I want to start at 5. Until you understand as a people what this is saying right here, there is no, she says, people get up to the top and then Bishop always brings it up, you will never rise above the condition of your people.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you do that is when you try to separate yourself and sell out who you are, what you represent, and who you're for. We have to stop trying to fight for a seat at their table, and the things that affect change and that will empower us to move our people. See, because you can move as an individual to a certain extent in this. If you can jump high enough, run fast enough, sing good enough, act good enough, whatever multitude of things they allow us to do, you can rise to a certain level, but you cannot take your people with you. There's not enough money. There's not enough skill set. The only power that allows us to do something like that so that you can get that great boldness, that satisfaction that we read about in Wisdom of Solomon 5, is by the application of these commandments as an Israelite, keeping these commandments as an Israelite in the faith of Christ, because he is the only one that can redeem it. No matter how much we galvanize and try to do it with their system, it's not going to work. We spoke about various revolutionaries during the past months on the show, so on and so forth, and they've all failed in their end objective. They've made strides and little things there, and they've opened up spaces for what we're doing now with the Bible, but their movements failed because they were still trying to deal. You see, you can't play the same game as Esau. You have to change the game. You have to change the game and stop playing their game. And you must understand this piece in order to start to wrap your mind around it. You going to say something?
Yeah. You know how you change the game? Give me Deuteronomy 28:1.
Right.
This is how you change the game.
The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 1.
Wait, let me get it. Because I wanna...
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God,
mm-hmm.
to observe, to do all his commandments,
mm-hmm.
which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God would set thee on high above all nations of the earth.
That's the only way.
That's the only way.
All right, affirmative action. Equalities campaigns that they do with the job force,
mm-hmm.
that ain't gonna do it. That ain't gonna do it. The Most High God clearly said it's simple in just 28. Notice when you read Deuteronomy, right? 28 through 14 is the good stuff. 15 through 68 is a lot of bad stuff that's gonna happen to us, boy.
Hey, and you wanna know what that tells you?
It was really simple.
It's that easy. You only needed 15 verses to do right.
Yep.
But the ramifications of the wrong took the rest of the damn chapter.
53 jacked you up.
He is real simple. It's real. All this other stuff, that's kicking against the pricks.
Yep.
That's kicking against the pricks, all this other stuff. And it's because we don't see this vision that our forefather Solomon saw. Read this. Ecclesiastes 10, start at 5.
Just one thing. So it proves right there, we were always supposed to be above all nations. It's the point that I wanted to make with
yes.
that.
Yes.
We shouldn't be trying to eat the crumbs and be happy that we make it to a CEO or something. No, we're the CEOs of the world, of the universe,
right.
according to the Most High God.
We started to think of the individual and not the whole body and not the whole nation. This is why you cannot try. You can by yourself go to a certain point, but you won't be able to take your people up there with you unless you apply these commandments. Go ahead.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 5. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun.
First, you have to acknowledge that the conditions that we're in is an evil in the earth. Under the sun means in the earth. There is an evil in the earth. Come on.
As an error which proceeded from the root.
As an error. He says it's so evil that it looks like it's a mistake. That can't be right. My mind can't wrap around what I'm seeing. Come on.
Follow your set. Folly is set in great dignity.
He says folly is set in great. Now, this is our code talk, because the folly he's talking about is those Edomites, starting with them and all the other nations. He said the folly is in great dignity. Come on.
And the rich sit in low places.
Wait a second. Going back to what we read earlier in Sirach, it says the rich above the poor. Why do the rich above the poor? Going back to your point, Cap, earlier when you brought it out with that, it doesn't make sense. Why would they hate the poor? So it's telling you here, because the rich... Right? The real rich sit in a low place, because you have to look at this. This is why I say it's our code talk, because what is he talking about? The rich don't sit in a low place. What's going on here? Read on.
I have seen servants upon horses.
He's seen servants upon horses, because that's all they were ever meant to be. That's all that they were supposed to be. Like the brother brought out, he deceived Eve thinking like they had the goods.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't realize that we had the goods. Well, she did it.
Neither did he.
And he wanted to follow after the woman, so he didn't realize how good he had it, just to please the woman. So, and we're talking about Adam and Eve. So he said, I've seen servants upon horses, meaning these other nations. Why? Because horses represent dignity. Horses represent power. Horses represent authority and wealth. Come on.
And princes walking as servants upon the earth.
And he's seen the princes of God. He's not speaking in individual terms here. He's speaking of his people. And he says, this is an error and a folly. And until we can see that, it don't matter how many LeBrons, Michael Jordans, Charles Barkley's, Denzel Washington's, Kamala Harris, Barack Obama's, whatever you want to put up there. It don't matter that these individuals get a token place at the table, because you still have the princes of God walking as servants in the earth in this time. And it needs to be corrected. It's an error. And the only way it'll be corrected is just like Catboy, I would do Deuteronomy 28, is if we apply those commandments. It was said to us from when we came out of Egypt, and that same messaging has not changed throughout all of history. We keep kicking against the pricks. You got people who supposedly represent us with no answers, and their answers always revolve around integration, love, don't see the differences, don't see the color. No. God made differences and magnified them. Right. He magnified us above them.
You know what it is, Cap, is that our people refuse to read the Bible. I said something there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you may be saying to yourself, I read the Bible. No. Our people refuse to read the Bible. What do I mean? They have no knowledge of what this Bible, they read it. But they read it under the interpretation of what their oppressor has told them it means. They don't read it. They don't see it through their own eyes,
right,
through their own spirit, through their own soul. See, Solomon understood why he was angry when he wrote that verse in Ecclesiastes, because he understood 28:1, Deuteronomy. He understood that we were always supposed to be above on it. He understood what the brother called about Adam and Eve. He understood all of that, because guess what? It was him.
It was him, exactly. It was him from the beginning.
Do I say it?
Just
double
dutch.
It was him. Yeah, go ahead.
Can I get Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 10?
Why are you saying it like that?
Like, I don't know.
Like you're on the Breakfast Club or something.
No, my voice is too loud.
Put the lip sideways.
Yeah, read that right there. Yeah. Clear your throat before you read it.
Thank you.
What do you want? 12 verse what?
Verse 10. Because what we're bringing out is that, you know, we got to change the game up. We have to realize that these people are not set up to help us at all. That's why the scripture says this. Go ahead.
The book of Sirach, chapter 12, verse 10. Never trust thine enemy, for like as iron rusted, so is his wickedness.
Never trust thy enemy. Don't trust the ideology. Don't trust the politician. Don't trust anybody that they set up for you. Anybody that your enemy set up for you, which is Esau, anybody that they set up for your community, for your people, just know. Go ahead. Can you read that for me one more time?
Never trust thine enemies, for like as iron rusted, so is his wickedness.
Everything that he's doing is for their benefit. It's in wickedness. It's in wickedness. As iron rusted, and sure will, that iron will rust. His wickedness will show. He will show his true colors on why he set these people up. Can you read it for me?
Verse 11. Though he humbled himself.
Even though he humbled himself going to the Black Lives Matter rally, even though he giving you a semi, you know what I mean? Even though he humbled himself for that time, but this is the time. Go ahead.
And go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him.
Take heed and beware of him. Like you said, as iron rusted. Keep going.
And thou shalt be unto him as if thou wipe a looking glass.
It's not like you wipe in the mirror, like you wipe in a looking glass. Go ahead.
And thou shalt know that his rust has not been altogether wiped away.
All because he's helping you out. That doesn't mean that his wickedness or his hatred for you is still not embedded in him. It's always going to be embedded in him. That's all I got.
That's right. Let me get Ecclesiastes 7:13, because again, this is what it means that it can't be rusted, right? That it's like rust, right? Just as iron rusted, so is his wickedness. Because you have to understand something. This goes with not just understanding that we're princes, our servants, that it's a folly them being in dignity and being held in any type of esteem. We got to get that white Jesus, that white image, that remember how the comedian was saying how we make ourselves not like our appearance, our hair, our and all that stuff. God made them not upright, and this is what he means by that. Ecclesiastes 7:13.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 13. Consider the work of God.
Consider the work of God. The work that God did. And part of the work that he did was make Esau, the so-called white man, the way he did. Come on.
For who can make that straight, which he has made crooked?
You will never change them. Mm-hmm. This is expounding upon that he's not upright in him. God made him that way. From the beginning, that's why he says that old serpent. Who can make straight what God intended to be crooked?
Again, Cap, unless our people read the Bible, they will never get this.
Nope.
In their mind, they believe that they have enough education, more degrees than a thermometer, that they can talk their way into these people loving us.
Yep.
Okay? We don't need them to love us. This is what you got to understand. We don't need anybody else to love us but the Most High God, and he's going to love us if we do his law, statutes, and commandments.
That's right.
And it's that simple.
Well, how are you going to use something that they use for us to love them? You can't switch that around. It's about, like you said, you got to change the game. You can't play football and using the same plays the other teams use. They're going to figure out, hey, they're using the same thing.
I know what you're trying to say. This is the playbook.
It's the playbook. It's
I got you.
Right. Saying a lot to say that. Last scripture that I got, Ecclesiastes 1, 14 and 15.
Exactly. You know what I want. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 14.
Chapter 1,
verse 14. I have seen all the work. I've seen all the work that are done under the sun.
So Solomon said, I saw everything. I saw the beginning, end, and midst of times, right? He said, so I've seen all the works that are done in the earth. Come on.
And behold, all the vanity and vexation of
all
spirit.
Is vanity. Can you read it right?
Sorry. All is vanity and vexation of spirit.
All is vanity and vexation. He said, all the works that you're going to see in the earth, it should vex you and understand that it's vanity. Why? Because this is a fixed fight, brothers and sisters. All we got to do is do the playbook of the Bible, mm-hmm. apply these commandments in the faith of Christ, and we're going to be all right. And then verse 15, and you got to remember this, right? Come on.
That which is crooked cannot be straight.
That which is crooked cannot be made straight. Cannot be made straight. That's why your playbook don't work. You're missing one of the X's and O's in your playbook. That which is crooked cannot be made straight. Come on.
And that which is wanting cannot be numbered.
Right. We're wanting and we're without number. We're innumerable. You need to know who those princes are and who those real servants are. And knowing is only half the battle. So you have to get yourself in this book.
You got to stop doing the flea.
This is the revolution that the people are waiting for. This is the revolution that the Most High God is calling us into. You have to move into that mindset and get yourself away from all this garbage. You can see how even in all their definitions, while we try to bring out some knowledge in it, they try to bring you some confusion at that stuff. So listen, you're not woke until you woke to this, until you can understand this. That's when the Most High will open your eyes and ears, and then you can start to see the matrix for what it is.
That's right. Hey, how many times you've seen, this is an example, our people with education with no answers.
Right.
They go around the same old circle over and over. What's the end game? Peace. Vote. Politics. Right? Be better than them.
I don't say it to knock back to Sanchez, but that was his answer, even in his old age.
Yep.
We asked him a specific question. What can we do to get active, get out there, you know, occupy something, do this,
but,
do that.
But you know what? And again, in respect to Dr. Sanchez, because he was a trailblazer, we've been doing that.
Yeah.
hundreds of years.
That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point.
That was one of the things that sparked me coming into this truth was, although I saw that Christ was black in the Bible, that made sense, right? So it intrigued me. But my thing was, it's kind of like how Trump said, right? You got to try everything else, so why not me?
Right.
It was like, damn, this is my life. This is what I get up and work for every day. This is it. So why not follow this to hope that there's at least something better? And then once you apply things, you start understanding a little more. Okay, this is why this is like this. It's like, why not just try this playbook then? Because the same answers obviously ain't working.
That's the same thing Trump said.
Exactly.
He tried everything else.
Right.
Why not give the Most High a shot?
Exactly.
What do you got to lose?
You're right. And you know what's funny about that? Using the analogy of a playbook, me personally, I was using this playbook since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I wasn't reading the right playbook.
No, you were reading it like he was reading.
I was reading it like
he
was reading.
You know why? Because it's like Madden. You're playing on the rookie level rather than all Madden. That's why.
You know what? And Madden's a good analogy for me because I don't understand them plays for the life of me, bro. I look at them play. I suck at Madden because I don't get the plays. They don't make sense to me.
Let's play some
Madden. Nah, so you can scrub me?
Yeah, exactly.
Scrub me. Nope. I'll be mad as hell. You can put spirits on me. Nope.
Anyway, listen, man.
If you ever heard anything about it.
Hey, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, man, a lot of us, I'm sure, have read this Bible front and back and front, 50 times, 60 times, that we hear at camp sometimes, man, and didn't have any understanding, man. It was now that the Most High God brought the prophets to each and every one of you, to each and every one of us here in this room,
mm-hmm.
to learn the real playbook
mm-hmm.
for what it was worth, with all the pages in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we just got to understand that the answers in the Bible, the whole coming full circle, this Bible is the answer, okay? Following it the way the Most High God, all right, put the Spirit on us to teach.
That's it. That's right. Well, that's the show for tonight. All right. Catch us on the Saturday show. We got the Power Hour, the one-hour edition. All right. I believe Captain Amirai will be on there this Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Those will. All right. So every Saturday we have it at 11 a.m. Arizona time. We have the one-hour show. And then Lord's Will will be on the air next week, same time, 7 p.m. Arizona time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, all right? So like, share, support, and with that we say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom.
I'll be changing that song soon. So there's a little Northern Kingdom flavor on it.
Are you
going
to from your chat now? I don't know. I don't know. Like towards the end, I
got
to go so bad.
There you go.
I think, Cap, I heard you and the children were.
Yo, now my kids are Obi and Jeremiah, man. They got a freaking bug, man. There's a bug going around and all that shit, man. And,